Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as state director for CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations. Recently, I had the opportunity to be the guest speaker at Peoria Christian, the elementary school, for morning chapel. I love coming to share with the children and to teach them God's Word. And one of my favorite things that I'd love to do through the years is to teach missionary stories. I shared with the students that day that ever since I was little, like 3 or 4 years of age, I loved hearing missionary stories. I remember as a child attending a weekly Good News Club held in a neighbor's home where I grew up in Northwest Ohio and just sitting on the floor or the couch and being totally mesmerized as I listened to not just the Bible stories, which of course I loved, but it was the missionary stories that just grabbed my attention. But these stories I was listening to, they weren't not made up stories. They were true stories of how God used people like Hudson Taylor and Amy Carmichael and David Livingston and many others to go forth to foreign lands and to proclaim the good news of the gospel about Jesus to others. Even though missionary stories are great and inspiring, and I love them, I share with the students that there is actually a danger in hearing missionary stories. And they kind of looked at me funny, which is probably what you're doing right now as you're listening to this. Danger? I mean, what could possibly be dangerous about missionary stories? Well, the first danger that I shared with them that day is to think that missions is something out there over there that happens only on the other side of the world. You know, sometimes we forget that missions, telling other people about Jesus, is needed everywhere, including right here in our own country. In fact, I think you would all agree now more than ever. You know, there are people right here in our country, in America, or even right here in our state in Illinois, and even right here in our town in Peoria in central Illinois, who need to hear about Jesus and believe on Christ. But the problem is, and yes, there is a problem, is that they need someone to tell them. And so I shared with the children that day in chapel that there are children, you know, right across the street from where they live who have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel, not even once. And there are children, again, right across the street from where they live that have never even heard who Jesus is and why Jesus came and how they can know Jesus and trust in Jesus to have their sins forgiven and have the gift of eternal life. But I also shared with the children that there is a second danger in hearing missionary stories, especially the missionary stories that took place long ago. So not only is there a danger in thinking that missions is something that takes place out there over there, but also there's a danger in thinking that missions and missionary work was something that happened, you know, back then long ago when you had swashbuckling pioneer missionaries traversing through thick jungles and unknown lands. The truth is that there is still much pioneer work in missions that needs to be done today, even if that pioneer work looks a little different now. But missionaries and mission work is needed everywhere in every country now more than ever. The need for missionaries both now and everywhere is rooted and grounded in God's Word. You know, I love Romans 10, verses 13 through 15. It's one of my favorite missionary verses. God's Word says it best. The Apostle Paul, a pastor teacher himself and also a pioneer missionary, declares, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But then the Apostle Paul goes on in the next few verses to ask a series of like self-answering rhetorical questions to drive home the point even more for the need of gospel-bearing witnesses to be sent out throughout the church age and until Christ comes. He says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" As it is written, he says, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." You know, the Apostle Paul, in both asking and answering his own question, he's saying, how can people believe and call upon the Lord to be saved unless someone is sent to tell them? You know, this is both a mystery and the beauty of the gospel. You know, God can save anyone at any time, anywhere, in any way that he chooses. Just think of Saul, you know, before he was the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road. The scripture clearly teaches us that salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end. But at the same time, it's also true in a great mystery in God's word that God, he chooses to use us, his servants, who have believed on him to join together with him and bring forth the message of salvation to the ends of the earth. In other words, included in God's salvation plan, he chose to use us. Well, that day in chapel at PCS, I decided to teach the children one of my favorite mystery stories that I have loved for so many years called Send Someone to Tell Me. You know, it's a true story that took place years ago in Papua New Guinea, and it was actually a country that was originally divided into two different countries, but then combined together, and it's north of Australia. But, you know, life in Papua New Guinea, I was sharing with the children on the other side of the world, is almost like a difference of night and day. I mean, the people back in that time, and even still today, they lived in houses with grass thatch roofs, and their walls were made of bamboo poles that were like tied fast together. And, you know, you couldn't just go to Walmart or Kroger's to go get your groceries. So what do you do? Everyone grew their own food. They had their own gardens. And fathers, you know, they were hunters and they protected their family and their tribe, while the mothers, they tended to the daily needs of their family and at the same time caring for their children and carrying their newborn babies in baskets slung on their back everywhere they went. But, you know, this was the world of Aliafa, who was a little boy who was born and raised in the jungles of Papua New Guinea. You know, Aliafa, I told the children, since he was young, was taught, you know, those same things to hunt and fish just like, you know, the rest of the boys, but he also learned other things, like he learned of evil spirits and was taught to fear these evil spirits greatly, being warned never to step out of line. Aliafa grew up in a culture, in a country with zero knowledge of the Creator God. He knew nothing about the name of Jesus and even who Jesus was, and he had no idea about a Bible or been in a church or seen anything like that in his whole life. But as Aliafa grew in years, he started to look around him, and his world to him just started to not even make sense. And I shared with the children that Aliafa, one day he went out, and again, this is a true story, and he was looking at the beautiful flowers and the birds and the beautiful mountains and the hills and the sunrise and sunsets. And he thought to himself, how can this be? How can evil spirits that I've been taught my whole life, how can they make these beautiful things and these good things? And then on his own, he reasoned, he says, if there are evil spirits, then there must be a good spirit, for only a good spirit can make all these beautiful things that I see with my eyes. So Aliafa, on his own, he decided to do something. Every morning he would walk out upon the hill at the back of his house, overlooking the jungle forest, while the mist from the early morning was still rising at the dawn of the day, and he would pray, saying, good spirit, I don't even know you who you are. I don't even know your name, but I know that you made all these beautiful things. Will you please send someone to tell me about you? Oh, do you want to guess for how long Aliafa did that? For 3 years, every day, Aliafa prayed that same prayer, asking the good spirit. Again, he didn't even know the good spirit's name or anything about him. He just said, good spirit, will you please send someone to tell me about you? Well, do you think that God heard him? Absolutely, yes. 1,000 times, yes, he did. In fact, it was God who was the one who was putting these things and placing that burden upon his heart to pray to him in the first place. And then 3 years later, it happened. A pale-faced man carrying a big black book tucked under his arms came walking into Aliafa's village, amazingly speaking the pidgin trade language, you know, that the whole tribe could understand. And this pale-faced man then turned and walked right up to Aliafa and said to him, have you ever heard of the good spirit who created all things? Oh, Aliafa, he was like shocked. He almost fell over. He thought, could this be the answer to my prayers all these years? And that very day, you could probably almost guess the ending here, Aliafa, he heard the good news of the gospel from beginning to end. Aliafa heard in words that he could understand in the language that he could comprehend how God is the creator of all things and how all things consist of or have life and breath only because of him. Aliafa also then heard about sin and how sin, the wrong things that we do, how it came into the world through disobedience to the Creator God, and then death by sin, and how the whole world is now under the power of Satan, the evil one. And Aliafa, he understood about that. And then there's a punishment for our sin, which is eternal separation from God. But you know, on that same very day, Aliafa heard the story of God's promise, how God promised to his people and in his true word to send the promised one into the world to take care of the problem of sin, Satan, and death. And through this promised one, who would be both God and man in one, how he would come to suffer and die to take the penalty, the punishment for our sin upon himself, even though he knew no sin and did no sin and was without sin, and then on the third day rise again from the dead, all to give us not only the forgiveness of our sins, but the promise of eternal life. Well, Alipha, on that day, he understood there was only one true God. He understood there was only one way to be made right with holy God, and it was through faith and faith alone in that promised one who is Jesus Christ the Lord. And so on that very day, Alipha, he believed on Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And Alipha's world was now like changed upside down. He was a new creation in Christ. But he also, almost immediately, he had a deep hunger. He wanted to know more about Jesus. He wanted to know more about God's word. He wanted to understand more how all these promises all fit together in that book that that missionary had tucked underneath his arm. But, you know, not long afterwards, the Australian missionary left. He worked with Alipha for a while, but then another missionary came, this time from America, who then kind of took Alipha under his wing, just as the Apostle Paul took young Timothy. And the missionary began to teach and train Alipha to tell others and encouraged him to go and tell others, even his friends and his neighbors in the tribe, about Jesus. You know what? That's exactly what Alipha did. And I share with the children that day in chapel that one of the first people that Alipha told was his friend Jogo. But at first, his friend Jogo wanted nothing to do. He's like, get away from me. I don't want to hear about Jesus. I don't believe any of that stuff you're saying. But then one night, Jogo came pounding on Alipha's door after having a terrible, fearful dream. And he begged Alipha. He says, please tell me again about the peace and the forgiveness of sins that you were telling me about Jesus. You know, it was such an amazing joy that Alipha had to go and tell his friend like Jogo and other neighbors in his village about Jesus, to tell them how they can have the forgiveness of sin. But, you know, as time went on, the missionary then asked Alipha if he wanted to start Bible classes where he could teach Alipha to read and write his own language, not only so Alipha could read God's word for himself, but also Alipha began helping the missionary to translate the Bible into his own people's language. Soon Alipha was traveling with the missionary, either by foot, by car, or even on horseback, going from village to village, telling others and teaching them God's word. But you know, the time came for the missionary to leave, but Alipha, he still carried faithfully on. He was trained by the missionary, and he just knew exactly what he needed to keep on doing. And in time, Alipha, he became the pastor and teacher, not only to his own people in his own village, but then expanding out to other villages around him throughout that part in Papua New Guinea. Now, Alipha, I told the children, served the Lord all the days of his life, telling others and training others, both young men and boys who, just like him, had a deep hunger placed in their heart by God to share with others about Jesus, whether near or far. You know, that day in chapel, I shared with the children that I didn't know if Alipha was still alive or not. But if Alipha was standing right there before them in their school, and he was there to say anything to them, that I believe Alipha would say to them that missionaries today are needed now more than ever. And that leads us to the final danger that I share with the children, which is the real purpose of learning about missions and hearing missionary stories, is that the real danger is that it can change your life. It can turn your life, your world upside down. But you know what? That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. You know, I don't often share this, but before I was 15 years of age, you know, I already had my life all planned out. I knew where I was going to go to college and what I was going to major in and what I was going to do with my life, until God got a hold of me and, like, he grabbed me and spun me around by the gospel of his grace. And he gave me a heart for him, to walk with him, a hunger for his word. And he gave me a deep desire to want to tell others about him and to serve him all the days of my life. And my life was completely changed, because God had a plan to send me on a mission that I had never even dreamed of. And God had a plan to send me out to tell others about him. And so I told the children at chapel that, you know, I didn't know what God's plan for their life was. Of course not. But this one thing I do know is that God wants all of us who has believed in Christ, that all of us together need to be involved on this mission, whether it's by praying, by giving, or going, and to take part in being sent out or sending others out and proclaiming the gospel to the ends of the earth. You know, Jesus is coming, but yet there is a still whole world out there who, just like Alipha, needs someone to tell them about Jesus. When I think about Romans 10 again, I just think about those words of the Apostle Paul and asking those questions. How can they call unless they believe? And how can they believe unless they hear? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? And then he closes out and he says, for how beautiful are the feet of them who preach the glad tidings of good news. You know, thanks again for listening, even to the story of Aliafa from Papua New Guinea, from the other side of the world. And may the Lord give you the opportunity, even this week or even today, like Aliafa, to go and tell others about Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.